Bibles, if you will, turn to Judges chapter number 16 and verse number 20. This morning we preached on Samson's special, and tried to make application as to how we are special. God has made us special. And Christ actually gave up much so that we could be special.
Amen.
When he came into this world.
Thank the Lord.
I was thinking about how that Samson was given supernatural, almost divine strength. Jesus, on the other hand, came into this world to take on human characteristics. And he did so we could be special. He became like us so we could become like him.
Hallelujah.
And that is special. But we're going to take a drastic turn in the sermon tonight. And I'd almost want to take 15 minutes and point you to that special again, but we don't have time for that. Yeah, I often say this on the church. One or two churches I go to, if you don't preach over an hour, they boo you. But I emphasize that matter of special because I think it's something that the Holy Ghost would want to say to our hearts. Concerning all he's done for us on the special side of salvation and all of the gifts and the callings, all the privileges and prayer and all of those other things that are ours, all of the things that we have in Christ, how special. But also even on the physical side, as we look at the special parents and special mom, a special dad, a special church, a special preacher, special children. So much special that has been poured into, and I don't want us to look at it as a group, but so much special that has been poured into you personally by God and through so many other channels. Thank God for the special that is ours. The thing I like about preaching here is a lot of bootleg preaching goes along with it. And Brother Allen quoted 1 Peter 2:9 at the table while we were eating. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. And certainly God wants us to know that we are special, especially those of the household of faith. But I want us to read verse number 20, Judges chapter number 16. And I want to preach tonight on this subject, losing your special. Losing your special. Of course, I'm not referring to your salvation. I realize that we are eternally saved. I'm not referring to God's love. I don't think His heart ever changes toward us. But I certainly am going to point out in the life of Samson this matter of his influence, this matter of his usableness, the matter of our testimony, the matter of our reputation, the matter of wasting. So much of what has been special in our lives and put special in our lives by God and by others. How sad that it would be to lose, to throw away, to chance those things that are special in our lives. I'm talking and I'm thinking about Samson. And in particular, the one thing that seemed to stand out was his supernatural strength. and how special that was to him in much of what God intended for his life, and how that it seemed to be the prominent thing in Scripture and in our minds as we read the text and the story of his life. All of that's special. But look in verse number 20. The Bible said, "And she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times before and shake myself." And why not? He's special. He's got special strengths. They've always worked. And why would they not work this time? The next part of the verse said, "And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him." And of course, you know the end result. Verse 21, "But the Philistines took him, put out his eyes, brought him down to Gaza, bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house." Samson lost that special. I guess Paul worded it as best as we could word it. He said in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 27, "But I keep my body bringing into subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." He said, God's given me grace, God's saved me, God's called me to preach, and he said, I don't want to lose that. I don't want to waste all of that special. And I don't think I have to spend a long time here making application to your life and to my life. There's a big price been paid to make us special and to help us to be special. But if we're not cautious and we're not careful, it is possible to cast much of that to the wind, and we can lose our special, our effectiveness, our influence, our usableness, even our testimony. So we must be cautious about this matter. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to lose my special. I don't want to take none of that for granted. And I know that there's some that are sitting here. None of us have been perfect, but all of the things that come into our lives and that we battle with seem to throw up to us that warning sign, that signal that says, hey, be careful, you might lose something right here. You don't want to lose anything right here. Watch out. There's danger ahead. You don't want to throw anything away. I want to hold on to as much as he's given me as I can. I want to end up special, don't you? I want to end up special. And as I pondered this, I want to look at some things that can give us the signal that there is the possibility of. I want to use Samson's life as a warning and as warning signs as to how or when or where we can possibly lose our special. In other words, be careful. You don't want to lose that. John, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, he talks about losing those rewards. They don't want to lose that special. And so with that thought in mind, let's just ponder Samson with all the special that was put in him. But don't just think about him. Think about all the special that's been put into you. Think about everything that you have and are right now that God has blessed you with in the fullest sense. Why would you cast that away? But yet it is possible to do so. And I want us to look at his life, and we'll notice three or four things that seem to be the signals as to why. He woke up on this day, on this morning, and nothing was the same as it was before. Though he assumed and presumed that it might be, God had departed from him. I want to say to you, first of all, you can pretty well be sure that you're going to lose your special. You're on the line of losing your special. Some part of the special that God has put in your life, or some part of the special that has been given to you, you can pretty well be sure that it's coming and it can happen. when first of all, you're not doing special things. You're not doing special should be doing special. And by his actions, as the life of Samson unfolds, and I understand, and I preached this morning how much God had to do with the life of Samson. And I know on the one side, God was accomplishing his purposes. He accomplished them. He accomplishes most of his purposes in spite of us and not because of us. But certainly none of us would stand up here and say the lifestyle of Samson is justified because of what God's purposes was. Solomon was born through Bathsheba, but we're not going to blame God for all of that happened in David's life. And I understand that no matter what you do, God has a way of getting his will accomplished. But I don't want to lose my special in the process. I want to come out the other end having accomplished that with my special. But here he's got some actions that doesn't even speak of being special. Think about it. If we go back to chapter number 14, one of the first things that he does that raises a flag is he puts his hand into the dead body of the lion to get that honey, which we realize that being a Nazarite, and he understood he was a Nazarite because he's the one that told the woman, Delilah, he said, I'm a Nazarite. My hair is not supposed to be cut. So he understood. His parents taught him about that. He doesn't even tell his parents that he's got where he got that honey. The scripture said it because he knew, no doubt, they would rebuke him over that because he's breaking those vows. And by the way, he did. He broke all of the Nazarite vows before it was over with. He puts his hand in there. He goes down to Timnath, and while he's down there, of course, he begins to gamble with the enemy. And he says to them, hey, how about let's do a little wheeling and dealing. And if you can get my, if you can guess, and I'm going to give you a, what's the word? A riddle. Okay, thanks for helping me. I'm going to give you a riddle, and if you can give me the answer to that riddle, then you'll get so much, but if you don't, then I'm going to get it. He starts gambling with these people as if he thinks that he's smart. Now, I'll give it to Samson, he's strong, but I have no indication in Scripture that he's real smart. He has some hands, but I don't know so much about his head. And besides all that, you ain't going to be able to outwit this old world. The children of this world are wiser than in their generation than the children of the kingdom. You go to trying to compete with this world as far as the reasoning level, the gambling level, whatever it is, they're always going to come out on top. You can't do that. And then, of course, he allows them to give him 30 friends. 30 of the worst kind of folks, they're his enemies, and they become, the Bible said, they are his companions. They said, Samson will give you some companions. Yeah, right. None of this seems to speak of special. He's keeping secrets from his parents. He's down there in the vineyards. That's Timnath, as the Bible said, is where the vineyards are. Now, of course, we know what vines, vineyards were used for, even in this day, to make wine. And I'm not saying to you that I am 100% sure, though I realize that he took that honey out of the belly of that lion, and in doing so, he's breaking a vow. He has his hair cut, though against his will, he's the one that told the secret. And it breaks the vow. And the only other part left of that vow was wine. And somebody said, yeah, but there's no record he ever drank any. Well, may not have been, but it don't take much to figure that around. I was raised around drunks until I was 14 years old. And if you can take a man in his sleep and cut all his hair off, and he ain't never had a haircut in his life, he's under some kind of influence, I'll tell you that. I mean, how in the world does he not know his hair's being cut? How in the world does he not know he's being tied with ropes and a new rope and then a regular? How does he not know all of that? I'm not saying he was a wino, but I think he's nipping the bottle somewhere along the way. In other words, it just seemed as though there was evidence day after day after day that Samson's in trouble. He's in trouble. He's had all of this input in his life. Everything has been put in him is special. But Samson, you're not doing special things. It's a warning sign. So it is in all of our lives, and I think especially young people, that when mom and daddy begins to point out the things that you're doing that's not right, it's not in the right direction, it's not special, then it's a pretty good sign that you're going to end up losing something in the deal. I'm simply saying to you, by his actions, he's not doing special things. And may it be our desire that we'd constantly be used of God to do special if we are special. If you are special, then do special. Be a special blessing to somebody. Let your works be those works that would be called special, so that when the last day comes and you're laying in that state and they pass by to look at your body, they whisper and say, you know, they were special. I want my deeds. I don't want it just to be enough to say, well, I'm a Baptist, that's special. Well, that's not going to help a lot of folks. Or I'm a preacher. Just the title's not going to help a lot of folks. The actions of our everyday lives speak louder than words. But they also indicate whether there's trouble ahead or not. Because if you're not doing special today, you probably won't do special tomorrow, and they won't be special the next day until there's not even the capability of doing special. He certainly couldn't do it in verse number 20 because the special was gone. And so we see that there is an indication he's losing his special because he's not doing special things. It's evident in his actions. He broke all the vows. The second thing I would suggest to you is that there is the possibility of losing his special. And the cry is, don't lose your special. But there is the possibility of him losing his special because it doesn't seem like he's feeling special. He's not feeling special. In other words, there's something wrong with his actions, but there's also something wrong with his attitude. The thing that amazed me as I studied the life of Samson, and of course, he began to deliver the children of Israel, but I never find any place to where he's really concerned about Israel. Or he's not really even concerned about God's will. You'll find that in every confrontation and conflict that he has with the Philistines is because of something personal. It's a personal matter. Well, they played with my heifer. I'm mad at them. I'm going to tear up their gardens and I'll kill a dozen of them or more than that because they played with my heifer. Well, if you hadn't been down there playing with them, they wouldn't have played with your heifer. What are you doing, buddy? I mean, that's just what comes out of all of it. But he makes it personal. He goes down. He's not doing it for the glory of God. He's not doing it to deliver Israel. He said, I'm mad. That's his attitude. I'm mad. and he goes out and gets those foxes and turns them loose on their fields and destroys their fields. He said, I'm going to do worse than that. I'm mad. And especially when he goes down there and finds out that that the father-in-law has allowed that daughter to marry somebody else, he's enraged. But it's all personal. Well, I tell you, the worst thing a preacher can do, the worst thing I could do as a pastor is take pastoring personal, as if everybody's against me or it is something having to do with me. It's not about me. It's about God. This is His kingdom. This is His work. It's not about you. It's not about me. We're not to wear our feelings on our shirt sleeves. He's mad. Even down to the very last thing that he did. When he told that old boy, he said, put my hands on the pillows, and he did. And he even prayed to God. He said, God, let me avenge myself on these enemies because they took my eyes out. I'm going to tell you something. When it's all about you, you're going to lose your special. Even though you may be involved in some special things, brother, when you get it learned, you get it turned inside and you begin to get the attitude, well, I tell you, they didn't call on me to sing. Well, I'll tell you right now, I thought maybe that you don't even shake my hand when I left out of there. I just think things ain't like they used to be. And you get all of those attitudes that are not special. You're not feeling special. You ought to be feeling thankful in your heart. You ought to be feeling love in your heart. You ought to be feeling those things that are edifying in your heart. And when you are, I'm going to tell you, you know and you hold on to your special. But when you're not, somewhere along the line, it's going to cause you to throw away your special. If there was ever any kind of an illustration of that, I may not get my sermon done tonight, but I can't look at him when I say that. He's saying, preach on, brother. We'll be here at midnight. Preach on. But I thought about Joseph. You know, the one thing that kept him from having a relationship with that woman that he could have had in secrecy was that he had special going on in his heart. She said, now come on, nobody's going to know about this. This is between me and you. And he said, how can I, when my master has treated me like he's treated me and put everything under my authority, how can I? And he said, furthermore, how can I do this and sin against God? He said, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to tell you, he was thinking special. He was feeling special. When she came with an unspecial temptation, he said, not me, gal. I'm not feeling that way. Matter of fact, I'm thinking about shouting and praising God on how I've been treated and how I've been blessed. Somebody said, but his brothers mistreated me. He didn't let that get inside of him. Said they made a slave out of him. He didn't let that get inside of him. He was ripped from his father's presence, but he never let that get inside of him. He always knew that God was in charge. You meant it for evil. God meant it for good. Don't let the snakes of this old world, thinking about this morning, don't let the snakes of this old world bite your spirit. It'll rob you of your special. Because if he'd have gotten that attitude when that woman had said that, he had said, you know what? Yeah, well, don't look like the promises of God ain't coming to pass. My brothers are supposed to bow to me and thought I was going to get the farm, and I've been bowing for 13 years and spent two. And the way I've been handled, the way I've been mistreated, why not? I'm going to tell you, ingratitude and unthankfulness will cause you to lose your special. And folks won't, they'll recognize it when they hear you talk. Because you'll always be on the offensive, talking about how you've been done. And I don't mean to pick, but I mean, I pastored 22 years, and I could tell when that old frog come in, was all blowed up. I knew right then they'd taken on an attitude. And boy, they'd lost that. You could tell if they wasn't careful. If you're not careful, you hang around there long. Temptation's going to come, and you will excuse that. And you'll lose a measure of your special. But here I notice that the signs of possibility of losing your special is when you, first of all, you're not doing special. You just know that's not special. And if that's not special, what comes out of it can't be special. His actions. And then he's not feeling special by his attitude. He is demanding. His parents try to instruct him, and he just abruptly says to him, get her for me. At that point in time, he's not special, he's spoiled, is what that is. Vengeful, get even spirit, he's mad, he's upset, he's proud. Ephesians 4:31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. I'm going to tell you, if the devil gets your attitude, he's got everything. Now, I may be able to act it out, preaching, and carry it on for a little ways. But somewhere down the road, he's going to get my special. Because my attitude is going to allow it to be so. Did you see the verse there again? And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times and shake myself. And he wist not. The Lord had departed from him. The third thing that seemed to leap out at me is in this matter of losing his special is he's not doing special things. He's not feeling special. And then, get this, I don't even think he wants special. I'm going to tell you something. You don't want special? If you're going to settle for less than special, that's exactly what you're going to get. If you haven't learned that God will give you special and things have really been special and you don't have to settle for less than special for your life and you can have special if you're willing to wheel and deal, honey, you'll get less than special. You'll get cheap. I don't want cheap. You say, well, how do you know that he doesn't want special? It's seen in his attractions, the things that he's drawn to. You can just tell those things are not really special. His attitude, his actions, and his attractions. It keeps saying, and he loved a woman, and he loved a woman, and he loved a woman, and ain't no one of them was worth shooting. His parents told him that. And they tried to convince him and did convince him that they loved, that them women loved him. They turned on the tears. Oh, Samson, why won't you tell me the riddle, the key to the riddle? You said you loved me. And he just gave in. He gave in. If anything gonna make a man give in, it's a woman crying. But I'm going to tell you something. If she's a special woman, that might be all right. But if she's just any old woman, you better watch out for them tears. Woo! Watch it now. I'm doing the preaching. I'm doing the preaching. And just think about it. He's over there in the lap of Delilah. And night after night after night, she's trying to... And by the way, in that deal with the riddle, the enemy said to his heifer, if you don't find out the key to this riddle, we'll burn you and your father's house. She found out the key to the riddle, but you know what they eventually did to her? They burned her and her father's house. Because when Samson came back and found out what had happened, they tried to excuse themselves by judging them and burning them, getting rid of them. Same thing. This whole world don't care about even their own, let alone you or me. The devil's out to destroy us, and he uses any instrument that he can to do so. Samson's got to realize that, honey, you've got to want some special things. That's why you're here in the house of God. You're wanting special. And you're going to get special from the man of God that preaches and from the songs of Zion and from the prayers and the ministering that goes on. You get special. But that's what I want, is special. I don't want anything less than special. And he lays in there and she cries. And on each occasion he lies to her and alludes that one thing or another is the key to the secret of his special. And then finally comes to the place that she is so vexing him. The Bible said she vexed him. That he tells her the key. Wow. I can't believe. I just couldn't believe that a man would come to the place to really he'd be willing to sacrifice special for something that's not special. She's not special. And the thing that he has that is so special, he is willing to give that all away for her. His attractions, the things that appeal to him, the things that he longs for, the things that he looks at, the things that he goes at. He doesn't try to guard his special. He doesn't try to protect his special. He just lays it all out there until he comes to the place that his special is sacrificed upon his attractions, upon his feelings, upon his lusts. And brothers and sisters, we can all play spiritual tonight, but I don't see no supernatural beings here. I mean, I can't see inside of you. I know Christ is in there and you have a spirit, but I'm going to tell you, you still got a body. I don't care how young you are or how old you are or what position you hold or whoever. This old world wants your special. Wants your special. I thought about Jesus, how Satan took him up on that mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of this world as if they were special. He thought they were. The devil must have thought they were pretty special or he wouldn't have offered them to him. He showed him all the kingdoms of this world and he said, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll give you all of that and all I want out of you. Listen to this. He said, all I want out of you is your special. He said, I want you to bow and to worship me. Give me your special, and I'll give you my special. But thank God Jesus had an answer to that. He said, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God. And in other words, what he's saying to him is, oh, devil, I want you to know that my special already belongs to somebody else. And I'm not giving it to you for lock, stock, nor barrel. It ain't, thank God my special's not for sale. It's a God-given special. It is a precious special. It is a peculiar special. And I'm not swapping it or trading it for anything in this old world. But he's not doing special. He's not feeling special. He's not wanting special. But I want to emphasize that it's amazing how that even your special can become your stumbling block. Those things that are particular to you and precious to you can become the instrument of your downfall. Understand this. Because one of the signs that I want to emphasize lastly about Samson's losing his special is that his special became an hindrance to him. It became a handicap. It actually became a crutch because of his assumption. His assumption. We've talked about his actions, his attitude, his attraction, but his assumption. Did you notice in that text? He assumes that his special will be the answer to all the other messes in his life. Are you seeing what I'm saying? He is thinking that somehow he can get by. And you got a verse here that I actually use in this message, and I want to emphasize it here. That one right there. Samson is special. All you got to do is look at his hands and see what he has done. But I'm going to tell you something. What you and I must understand is special is never enough. If you think you can wing it just through special, you're even going to lose your special. I understand what I'm saying. Samson's story could be written with his hands. Think about it. The text we read this morning, chapter number 14, verse 6, he's got nothing in his hands. That's the beginning of the story. And my goodness, what a story you could write. Here is this young man that God is raising up and he has killed a lion. He don't have anything in his hands. Man, what a wonderful story that is. Nothing in his hands. Magnificent. Marvelous. Nothing in his hands. But then when you go to the next verse, he's got honey in his hands. Now, if you understand the vows that's given him, you know that that is a warning sign. An alarm goes off because he's getting down near that dead body. And in your mind, you're saying, now, Samson, look, man, wait a minute. We've seen the beginning of the story. He's got nothing in his hands, but now when he puts his hand down into that lion's belly for that honey, it's almost like you're already seeing the beginning of the end of the story. You can almost see the end of the story from right here. You're saying, Samson, now, wait a minute. Is this going to be an everyday occurrence? Are you just going to go through life, pitch through life, wing it through life and break all those vows and live like that? Now, I'm going to tell you, this is not going to end well, Samson. If this is the way, if this is the pattern, Samson, this is not the way we want the story to end. We're just at the beginning and we can already see how it's going to end. The third thing he does, and I'm talking about his story. The third thing he does, and I'm emphasizing this assumption that his very strength has become his weakness. That he is now leaning on the prop of his special, thinking that it's going to take care of everything else that he's messing up. And so, the third phrase about his hands, it says he has the jawbone of an ass in his hands and he kills 1,000 Philistines. And we all revel in that, and we all say, well, that's great that he has done that. But the thought that comes to my mind is, how many of those Philistines are they? Now, he has killed 1,000 of them. But if you will read that text and move on over to his death, you will not find that he's done any other thing as far as delivering the children. The rest of it's about women. So basically, right there, it's over. I mean, we have seen the beginning of the story. He's got nothing in his hands. We've seen the beginning of the end of the story. He's got honey in his hands. And now we're already at the end of the beginning of the story. I mean, I just got my bag of popcorn. I just want to watch this Samson movie here. And this is the last thing he's going to do. He's not doing anything else. I'm saying, Samson, surely you're not ready. This is not it, is it? I mean, there's no doubt thousands and thousands of Philistines. But that's it for him. Until we come to the end of the story when he takes those pillars and he pushes them out. And basically commits suicide. Now understand this. Understand this. Samson had hands. That was his special. But you read his life and show me where he had any head or heart. He supposed that his hands were enough to get it all done at the expense of his head and of his heart. In other words, if you hold on to your special, it's going to take more than your special. It's going to take the totality of who you are and God made you. And look at that verse up there. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole what? Spirit? Soul? It's going to take all three. It's going to take all three. Samson is not going to be able to make it through with his special if his special is all that he's got. And I illustrate it because I am a preacher. I preach, and if I come to the place that preaching is all there is to me, and I'm not worried about what I do outside of these doors and how I conduct my life and what goes on in my mind and in my heart, I'm going to tell you something, I'm even going to lose that with all the rest of it. I pray God your whole body, soul, and spirit be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord. It's going to take it all, Samson. You can't just play around, fiddle around, move around and do what you're doing just because you've got strength and you've got special as far as your hands are concerned. It's going to bring you down. He's leaning on just his special. I've got to realize it's going to take more than a sermon to get me through. It's going to take more than the 35, 45 minutes or an hour that I'm preaching if I'm going to end up special. It's going to take more than just coming to church. It's going to take more than just a little prayer time in the morning or even the night. It's going to take giving our all to God and saying, God, I want to be special all the way, all the time. But you know the story. Samson comes down to the end and he's lost it all. He's lost his special. And could I say that the reason why he has is he's consumed him special upon himself. Isn't it amazing that Samson used all that special for himself, but Jesus, when he came into this world, would not use one bit of his special on himself. Even the devil tried to get him to turn the stone into bread, and though he broke the bread and fed the multitudes, he would not use that bread. You can find no place. If he hungered, he remained hungry. If he thirsted, he remained thirsty. He wasn't going to use his special on himself. His special was for somebody else. And note this, Samson pushed those pillars out. And here's my little phrase. He took his own life. Because when you lose your special, you don't have anything to live for anyway. Did you know that? That's why the world's in the shape that it's in. It doesn't really have any special. When you've got a purpose and God's working in your life and the freshness of His special and you know that He's doing things, then you've got a reason to live. But when you lose all of that, what good is life anyway? He takes his life. But hey, I'm thinking of somebody else that was special. He didn't take his life. He gave his life. And I'm here to tell you, if you want to hold on to your special, just keep giving it back to God. And God will keep multiplying that special and using it in you and through you for the lives of other people. Now, when Samson dies, I say to you, he's lost his special. He's lost everything, basically. When he dies without any unity. He has never caused an army to follow him into battle. He dies basically really with not much victory. I guess his tombstone ought to be what was back in chapter number 13, said he began to lead. To deliver. He never did. He began to deliver the children of Israel. But he died not even leaving any special behind. He died without any legacy. Think about that. Now, by the raising of your hand, how many of you here tonight know a person named John? How many of you know a person named Alan? Person named Lester. Person named Earl. Person named George. Person named Daniel. How many of you know a person whose first name is Samson? I'm looking closely. Well, so, well, why wouldn't you name your son? I mean, look how strong that guy was. Look how much special he had. Why wouldn't you name? I mean, I've never heard of a Sunday school teacher that brought her class in of young boys, or I've never heard of a preacher stand up and say, all right, we're going to preach on Samson. I want all you young people to listen closely because I want you to emulate his life. I want you to be just like him. Why not? He could kill a lion with his bare hands. He could kill 1,000 Philistines with the jawbone of an ass. No, hey, don't we want our... No, we don't. Why? But because of the time of his death, he'd done lost all of his special. And he didn't leave any special behind. None behind. I done told you I'm 60. But I'm going to tell you something. No matter how long I live, when they close that door on that coffin, I want to know that I've left some special things. Because you can't kill special. You say, how do you know? Because they tried to. They put him on the cross and put him in the tomb, but special lives on. And honey, if you'll just keep giving your special to God and let God use your special will live on in the heart of somebody else and of other people. We've got special. Haven't we got special? But children, I don't want to lose that special. And the thing about Samson is when he lost his special, he lost his identity, because it's the only thing that made him different. And they took him down there to the Philistines, and he had to eat Philistine food, had to drink, wear Philistine clothes, live in a Philistine prison or whatever, and work on Philistine work, and there wasn't an ounce of difference between him and the Philistines when it came to special. He became like them. And this old world wants to suck the identity out of God's children. They're constantly wanting to pull at us and want us to be the same. Let's all be the same. Well, God never made you the same. He made you special. But the moment you allow this world to pull and tug and you begin to wheel and deal and you begin to assume, presume, and you lose your special, honey, you won't be any different than anybody else. I'm going to tell you something. That's the problem with religion across this land. They're all about the same. They're all about the same. Because one will find out what somebody else is doing and they'll jump on the bandwagon and go do what they're doing. And there's no more secret to the special. There was a secret as far as the world was concerned. There was a divine secret to his special. There's a divine secret that this world can't figure out to your special. Unless you get too close and they'll figure out how to rob you of your special. I don't want to be like I don't want to be like every other church. I just want to be what God has made me to be. And I want to tell you thus far, and I done told you this morning, we don't want y'all messed with because there ain't no other place like this. And I'm not. That's to God's glory. But honey, if the devil could, he'd come in here and he'd sort of getting things straightened out and convince you that you're not up to date. And God knows you're not up to date. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you. This man's as far away from modern as any. He's caveman. That's caveman religion right there, buddy. It ain't got no modern about it at all. And I love it. You're not up to date. My goodness, I've been coming here 15 years. I ain't even heard one contemporary song. What's wrong with y'all? Don't you realize? Ain't you been nowhere else to see how they've progressed? with old dead religion that sucked the very power and life out of the church. It's no more than entertainment. It's not a place where you can individually come and sit down and say, God, whatever you do here tonight, do something in my heart. Continue to work that special because I want to be special. I want to die special. And certainly I do not want to lose my special. Mm-hmm.